You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
On an overcast Thursday here in Eastern Iowa, we welcome you in to the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Andrew is ready to go on a Thursday on the other side of the glass. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Yeah. We're making progress on heating situation. Mm-hmm. So that's good news. We'll take a little hot dust smell in exchange for 7 degrees.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Absolutely.
As people play, what is the temperature bingo today?
Or what's that smell?
Or what's that smell? Today it is heat dust.
Yes.
And but hey, like I said, it's much warmer in here today. We got a good show coming up for you. Coach Kevin Lehman will join us. It is our off-the-glass segment. You hear it each Thursday. We talk college basketball with you right here on 1600 ESPN. And it is proudly brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. And we'll talk about the Hawks in Utah, Iowa State. We'll get back on the court after finals. They will have Morgan State at home, the undefeated Drake Bulldogs, and a whole lot more. We'll talk with Kevin about that coming up in just a little bit. We've got the college football playoffs starting tomorrow night, and we will discuss that. What are you looking forward to? What you think is going to be the best game, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of college football talk and college basketball talk on the program here today. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That is the phone line. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. Coming your way, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And we will have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you as well. The final one of 2024 before we take 2 weeks off due to the holiday break. We may need 2 weeks off in the holiday break. Mark Dukes, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And it's always great to take the temperature of the studio on this show. But let's take the temperature of the college football playoffs. I can't wait.
Hey, I've got bowl fever. I don't know about everybody else out there. I like the bowls. Maybe I'm a wacko. I don't know. I love watching bowl games. I even watched the Rob Gronkowski, L.A. Bowl last night, and UNLV getting a victory. Then that was last night, and giving the temperature of college athletics right now, Mark, the top defensive back for UNLV then this morning went into the transfer portal. Going for his fourth school, by the way, in 4 years. So check all the boxes right there after your victory last night.
Well, I, too, like the Bulls. I enjoy watching them. I think the R&L Carriers Bowl tonight does not exactly pique my interest. But by and large, I like them. And, of course, until the next round, the college football playoffs are on campus sites.
They are. And James Madison, that is a good football program. Obviously, with Kurt Cignetti and what he has done, with a nice segue to tomorrow night's game between Indiana and Notre Dame, the former James Madison coach. What he left for his successor with the Dukes beat Western Kentucky in the Boca Bowl last night, 27-17. But as you mentioned, the college football playoff gets started in earnest on Friday with one game, three games on Saturday. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, but wanted to just touch upon it and kick it off, so to speak, with our listeners today, and just read the room here. What are you thinking as we are about to embark on a bold new era here of college athletics. Our first big time college football playoff. It's always been four in the past, and now it's a 12-team college football playoff, soon to be 16 down the road. Let's not kid ourselves, but what are your thoughts? What are you thinking? What are you looking for? What do you think is going to be the best matchup of the first four games of the first weekend starting tomorrow night? And how do you think it's all going to play out? 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you. Again, that's 319-366-1600. As Indiana and Notre Dame will go at it on Friday night, as we mentioned. Then on Saturday, we will have all of these games for you, by the way, here on 1600 ESPN. Gets underway on Saturday with SMU at Penn State. And that will be followed by Texas going up against Clemson. And then at night, Saturday night, under the lights in the Shoe along the Olin Tangi, it will be the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Tennessee Volunteers going at it. So good games, all with storylines, all intriguing. What is the most intriguing game, though, Mark?
That's a matter of opinion. I hope to we hope to get some from our listeners. But you look at these four games, and the point spreads are anywhere from 7.5 to 11.5, give or take a half or a half a point here and there, a point here or there. So that would suggest the home teams are going to prevail, which we're all trying to angle, especially getting ready for the Emo's Hideaway pick six tomorrow, trying to figure out where that upset's going to be. And I don't think there's too many possibilities. I would think that game in Columbus might be the one that I would circle. But 27-57 on the text line believes SMU is the most likely upset. I mean, is it going to be chalk this weekend? Or are we going to see an upset or two, Scott?
Well, without giving away too much, because, you know, you're listening. Dave's doing his homework right now. We know that.
Endless
homework. I don't see it going chalk. I really don't. I mean, when you have eight teams of the quality that are going to be playing this weekend, someone is going to jump up and get a victory. Is it going to be tougher going to on-campus sites? Absolutely, it's going to be tougher. But I wouldn't even dismiss Clemson as the number 12 seed who beat SMU in the ACC championship game. I could see a way where they could play and possibly beat the Texas Longhorns in Austin. I mean, Texas is not, I mean, they're not perfect. Like you were talking about and alluding to earlier this week, each of these teams has, you know, I don't want to say an Achilles heel, but there is a little bit of a weakness in all of these teams. I mean, there is not the perfect machine out there. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. And I could see SMU winning at Penn State. Heck, you could, like I said, I can see Clemson winning at Texas.
I don't know. It's very interesting. That Penn State being a day game instead of a night game, I think, is an interesting aspect there. And you always wonder, some of these teams having two, 3 weeks off, as in that Indiana-Notre Dame game tomorrow night. And I thought about this. You know, these first-round games, you get a home field advantage. Well, the better teams, yeah, they get a bye, but the better teams next week, the higher seeds, are going to be playing neutral site games. So I don't know which would you rather have, a home game or a bye. I suppose a bye, right?
Well, maybe. I mean, that sounds good, but how many times have we seen in sports, and I can think of Major League Baseball as the prime example, where teams with a bye are rusty and go down in flames? And that is why I think you could see that this year. Again, this is a brave new world. We have never embarked on this before. I'm kind of sitting back and taking it all in. But I can see some team – that hasn't played in a few weeks, being quite rusty and taking a while to get back up, acclimated to the speed, et cetera, et cetera. We'll find out. That's the second round. That's around New Year's Day and the new year. Let's get through the first round coming up first. That is one aspect. Another aspect Troy in Muscatine County wants to talk about. Good afternoon, Troy. How you doing?
Great show, guys.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to bring up these are probably the latest games ever played at these venues, being in late December. And when the Golden Gophers hosted Minnesota that year, they had to winterize their stadium for the professional ranks. I don't know if Ohio Stadium, Notre Dame Stadium, Beaver Stadium have been winterized, but I'm curious about the field conditions in those venues, and also especially like SMU probably hasn't played in a venue like that or weather like that. To me, that's going to be the biggest weather challenge, SMU. And I think Indiana's probably on equal footing with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And then who knows about Tennessee?
Yeah, you bring up a good point, Troy. Weather is going to play a factor. There is snow in the forecast in South Bend tomorrow night. Now, like you said, Indiana, Notre Dame, I mean, that's 200 miles apart. It's not going to be a big deal. The Hoosiers, no snow. But you take a look at some of the other games, yeah. SMU going to Penn State, snow in the forecast, I see, in State College, in 31 degrees. How is that going to play out? 32 degrees in kickoff, at kickoff in Columbus. Going to be nice in Austin. But I think Troy brings up a very good point, Mark.
I think he does, too. And I think Tennessee and Ohio, while they're not geographically as far apart as SMU and Penn State, that could be a factor for Tennessee. But listen, everything's, this is the college football playoffs, and they're going to get acclimated to the weather fairly quickly. They're going to prepare for it. I think it may be a factor at some sites, but maybe not so much in others. Another aspect, which coach do you trust? Do you trust Big Game James? What about Ryan Day? After what happened in the Michigan game, he's kind of like in James Franklin's category as well. I mean, yeah, which coach do you trust? Maybe Google it, right, Signetti?
Hey, Troy, good call. Appreciate the call this afternoon.
It feels like Ryan Day and Franklin are both on the hot seat at all times.
They are.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
319-366-1600 at 317. And there is pressure. Weather pressure. I think no one has more pressure than Ryan Day. Yeah, he got the AD at Ohio State said, no, we're not going to be changing coaches. But you know how that plays out. What if happens if Tennessee goes in and boat races Ohio State on Saturday night after losing again to that team up north? You can say all the things you want to say, but you know what Buckeye Nation is going to be like at about 10 o'clock Central Time on Saturday night if Tennessee wins that thing by four touchdowns?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's not going to happen that way, but at least four touchdowns. But if Ohio State happens to lose, absolutely. I mean, you think back in August, everybody's thinking this is Ohio State's best shot. This is the Big Ten's best shot in winning a national championship. And with two losses already, losing to Tennessee, and the climate in Columbus will not be very comfortable.
They will already be collecting money for the buyout. This guy's got $30 million.
And what's funny is we talked about the budget for Ohio State's football. It's at $20 million, something like that.
Over $20 million.
I read a story today, the most valued college programs, athletic programs, not just football in the country, Number one, Ohio State. Well, some out there might think you can buy a national championship, and I know folks in Oregon do. That's not always the case, is it?
No. Another thing to point out, and thanks to 8585 for this, and there are parallels. Now, it's not exactly, you know, two peas in a pod here, but 8585 says, talking about the Iowa women's basketball team, they talked about the added pressure of playing games at home. In fact, you know, toughest game may have been that second one last year for Caitlin Clark and the Iowa women's basketball team. A lot of pressure playing at home. They say can see some road teams playing freely with nothing to lose. And yeah, I mean, everyone's got something to lose at this juncture, but I get your point. Cyclone Tim says, look, while I don't like how the playoff leaves out the Big 12, and that's only, who knows, the Big 12 may jump up and improve next year, and it could be another league that is not getting very many teams in there. I get it. ACC schools and overly, it leaves out the Big 12 and the ACC schools, overly favors the Big 10 and the SEC. He's going to watch those games, hoping for close games and good games. I think we all are. And I think I agree with Rod. I'd like to see 20 to 25 bowl games where it would be an achievement for good teams. Not like Cal at 6-6 getting into the Rob Gronkowski L.A. Bowl last night. They looked okay.
Reagan Epworth, if Ohio State loses by 28, Ryan Day is going to want to get him and his family out of Ohio. Buckeye fans are a tad over the top.
Yeah, they are. But no more, I think, well, maybe a little more than other fan bases out there. But, yeah, trust me, there's going to be many people searching for donors and how much they can throw out there and get that buyout for Ryan Day if things don't go well on Saturday night. Wedge, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Think the biggest upsets will happen in the next round when Oregon, Arizona State, Georgia, and Boise play on a neutral site with 3 weeks of rest. That's a long time, and rest develops. I wouldn't be surprised if 3 or 4 of the byes lose. I don't know if it's going to be 3 or 4. I mentioned that earlier. I absolutely agree with that. Look how many – we've watched bowls over the years, Mark, and there is a certain amount of rust in the first quarter in the good old days of, as Rod mentioned, 20 bowls or so. It takes a while to get back into the swing of things and to just get back to the fast action that college football is right now.
Yeah, I think so, and – But once again, this is the college football players. You're playing for a national championship, and I think what you do in practice and what you do ramping up to the game while not overdoing it, that's going to come fairly quickly in the game. So as far as timing and passing and that sort of thing, that could, get off to a slow start depending on the game. But I guess we'll find out, huh?
We're going to find out. 67-14, the biggest Ohio State fans this week will be in Ames. it is not a national secret that if things go south in Columbus, probably if he's not the first one to get a phone call, he's going to be one of the top two to get a phone call is Matt Campbell.
Oh, you're meaning the extension of his contract doesn't mean anything.
No.
Okay. All right. Just clearing that up.
It doesn't mean anything in Ames. It doesn't mean anything in Iowa City. It doesn't mean anything in wherever. Pick a college town. It looks nice, but you can get out of those contracts. There's a reason there are clauses in them.
Well, it depends on who's paying the buyout, though.
Very true. Very true. 319-366-1600. Yeah, Boise and Arizona State, Greg and Epworth points out, are probably going to be underdogs on the betting line anyway. And even though they are the higher seeds, if it's a Texas-Arizona State matchup, absolutely, Texas is going to be favored in that one. And Would SMU be favored over Boise? I don't think so. But Penn State would.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. We're getting a week ahead of ourselves, but it's an interesting proposition. You know, what's going to happen in the next round? And, you know, I think maybe a couple of those teams that get first-round buys, Arizona State and Boise, have a potential of being an underdog. But that's next week. You know, what upset do you see, Scott, this week?
Leaning toward, and this is, I reserve the right to make a completely different pick tomorrow.
Okay.
That would be Tennessee, Ohio State.
Okay.
I just...
That would be mine, too.
And that's the game I am looking forward to the most. I think they're all going to be good, but I really am looking forward to Tennessee, Ohio State.
Yeah, although Dabo Swinney is playing with house money, and he's been in big games before. And Texas, I think, is one of the premier teams in the country. But like most of these teams, Texas has its warts.
I just don't know if Clemson's got enough dudes.
Yeah.
To pull off an upset like that in Austin. Could, and like you said, they've been there before. Dabo Swinney's been there before. Sarkisian's been there as an assistant under Nick Saban, but he has not been the head man in these situations. 319-366-1600, college football playoff, and how it's all going to play out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We will have all four of the games right here on 1600 ESPN. Yeah, 0818. Call from Columbus to Ames would go unanswered because of Matt's recent contract extension, right? No.
That was followed by a couple of emojis.
Correct.
That sucks. Yeah, that would be an interesting situation.
Now, he can say no, right? He can say no. I love it in Ames. I'm going to stay, but... Just telling you, if there is a change in Columbus, Ohio, Matt Campbell's getting a call.
And it wouldn't be the first time. It would be an Iowa State to Columbus situation. As you may recall, some of our listeners may be too young enough to remember, but Woody Hayes punched Charlie Ballman of Auburn on the sidelines, got fired. And who did they bring in? Earl Bruce. From Iowa State.
Very true. Until Earl Bruce could not do what, Mark?
Couldn't defend a Marv Cook desperation touchdown catch.
Well, and beat that team up north. 319-366-1600. College football talk. Going to be a great weekend of college football. And we will have those four college football playoff first round games for you right here on 1600 ESPN. But we're going to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update next, and then we'll talk some college hoops with the coach, Kevin Lehman, our Off the Glass segment. We'll do that in just a little bit. But I want to get to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time, brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, and they are open at 4 o'clock, Monday through Saturday. Fully stocked bar, family-friendly dining room, plus online ordering, catering, curbside pickup and delivery, and a delicious menu that you can view online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
Last night, Iowa Western sprinted to a 14-0 first quarter lead, but in the end was defeated by Hutchinson of Kansas, 28-23, in the National Junior College Championship game in Texas. Former Iowa State quarterback Hunter Deckers, now at Iowa Western, threw for 412 yards and two touchdowns in the loss. The Missouri Valley Conference has announced its latest Hall of Fame class. It includes former Drake coach and Iowa coach Lisa Bluter. Bluter will be inducted March 6th in St. Louis. The number one quarterback in the transfer portal, John Mateer, of Washington State is headed for Oklahoma. Mateer really under the radar. He accounted for 44 touchdowns this season for Washington State, 29 passing and 15 rushing, headed to be a Sooner. And finally, next baseball season, it'll be Rate Field in Chicago, the home of the Chicago White Sox. No longer will be known as Guaranteed Rate Field, mainly because nothing's guaranteed in Chicago. It had to do with the naming rights, but Rate Field in Chicago.
Listen, they changed so much. Half the people in, more than half the people in Chicago still call it Comiskey.
Yep.
I probably call it a certain cellular phone service field from back when it was built, but it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And Sammy Sosa's back with the under the good graces of Chicago Cubdom because he apologized earlier today, sort of. And now he will be apparently invited to the Cubs convention in 2025. He kind of apologized. I did things wrong. I admit mistakes, but I didn't break any laws.
Nice to see the Cubs have a kumbaya moment.
They are having a kumbaya moment, and you can get a Sammy Sosa autograph, I'm sure, at a very reasonable price at the Cub convention coming up. If he can make it there, I got a feeling he's going to make it there. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. It will be our Off the Glass segment. Stay tuned. More to come right after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we are going to have cloudy skies and breezy conditions through the day. There may be some flurries here and there. And this afternoon, we may have a rain-snow mix as temperatures climb into the mid-30s. We'll have some flurries possible tonight as the winds pick up and our system exits. Temperatures will then drop down to a low around 20 with the strong winds into Friday morning. Wind chills will be in the single digits. The clouds will clear tomorrow and the winds will back off. Temperatures, though, will be held to the upper 20s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Diamond earrings have bombshell beauty, yet everyday ease. They are equally comfortable adding a touch of glamour to a formal gown or fitting in with your favorite jeans. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers understands this beautiful contradiction about diamond stud earrings. So they carry all sizes, white gold, rose gold, and yellow gold. And because they've been helping people find just the right pair for so many years, the best thing they offer might just be their advice.
Perhaps that's why they've been voted top jewelry store in Iowa City for the 13th year in a row.
Whether it's a pair for you or a gift for someone you think is rather special, there is just no wrong time for diamond earrings from Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. So come see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Having a real Christmas tree is the best.
Right? But how do we get rid of it?
Oh, that's easy.
It is?
Uh-huh. Just make sure all the stuff's taken off, you know, wires, tinsel, decorations, and your tree can't have any of that fake snow spray on it.
Got it.
Then just set your tree in your regular collection location, or cut it to fit in your Yardie cart and make sure the lid is fully closed for collection.
That's it?
Yep. The city of Cedar Rapids will be collecting trees December 30th through January 10th.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from CR News Now.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Sign up for text alerts now at crnewsnow.com.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, "I didn't know you were here"? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacy Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
In Iowa, farming isn't just a profession, it's a purpose. You can feel it in our 29.9 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 72,000 Iowans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers markets. You can count it in the $159.5 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions because Bayer has a purpose too. to help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose. Paid for by Bayer.
I'm Chris Shooter Lehman. The nickname has followed me from my college basketball days. Lifelong Iowa City resident and the youngest of nine, I've been involved in real estate for the past 25 years. I have extensive experience in both residential and income investment property. That gives me a definite edge in guiding you through today's changing market. I will guide you through the process and you can make informed decisions.
Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group. Email shooter at edge-realtygroup.com.
And we are back, 3:35 here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. And time for our Thursday staple. It is our Off the Glass segment. It is brought to you each and every Thursday by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. And as always, Chris passes the ball to our friend Kevin, his brother, with a question each and every week. Are you ready for this week's pass, Kevin?
I don't get this question ahead of time to do any prep, but yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Here is today's question. Chris says he believes you are the first and only JUCO transfer in Buzz Levick's coaching career. Is this true or false?
That is true. I was his first. I think he might have taken a couple later, but I tell you why, because they had put the three-point line in the Iowa Conference in, was it 1975, 76? And that's why he recruited me as a three-point shooter. And then when the season started, they decided not to use the three-point line. So no three-pointers for me.
It turned out fine. You know, it turned out good.
I tell you, we had a really good team. We were tied with UCLA for consecutive conference championships at 10. Those are the great John Wooden teams. And we got beat by Central this year. They had two guys move in from California, the last name of Corver.
Ah. And then the rest is history with that name too, right?
We finished second to Central and the Corver brothers. That year, so we were UCLA went on to win it, so they had the streak, and we did not.
All right, there you go. Now you know
a little bit of history that you probably don't really care about.
Now you know the rest of the story, as a great radio man once said. Hey, we don't usually start off with them, but by golly, we have to. You are there, Drake in Kansas State. What a win for the Bulldogs in overtime. They went at 73-70, one of four unbeaten teams in America right now for the Drake Bulldogs, and up to, Mark knows this, up to 42 in the net, so things are looking good in Des Moines.
Yeah, how about that team? He brings in, I think, 10 new players. He had two guys left over from Darren DeVries is here, Nate Ferguson, and the other guy, Avila, is hurt. Division II guys, they won a national championship 2 years ago at Northwest Missouri State. I tell you what, unbelievable. This is what great guard play does for you. I don't know if you watched that game. Mascari hits eight threes against Kansas State. He gets six in the first half. And I tell you what, they were guarded, and I don't think any of them hit the rim. One of them rattled a little bit. And the other young man, Bennett Sturts, unbelievable performance. You got to see this guy play. It tells you what great guard play does in college basketball.
Come on, Kevin.
Yep, go ahead, Mark.
Does Bennett Sturts remind you of anyone, Kevin?
Jeez, that's a great question. You know, he's 6'4", has a great feel about the game. I'm trying to think. Nobody comes to mind right now, but I'm sure there's somebody in there. I tell you what's happening right now, because it was happening in the hotel lobby at breakfast Wednesday morning. How much NIL money do we have to pull together to keep Bennett Sturts a Drake Bulldog next year?
You know what? That is the million-dollar – I hate to say that – the million-dollar question for not only Drake but Ben Jacobson for every – I mean, Indiana State a year ago, they couldn't do it, and now Drake's going to have to face that same tune.
Yeah, Mike Mahon went down with me, so we were having breakfast Wednesday getting ready to come back, and there was a number of Drake boosters. We were in the hotel right next to T-Mobile Center. That was literally the discussion. that was going on, and it was a serious discussion. And there were some figures getting thrown out. That's college basketball. And, you know, Kansas State, that's the example of the team. You know, we think Coleman Hawkins, we're hearing $2 million. Doug McDaniel came out of Illinois, as we know. Doug McDaniel out of Michigan, I'm hearing, you know, $1 to $1.5 million. I tell you, I feel bad for those guys, even though they're making a ton of money. They are not having any fun whatsoever. There was so much pressure on those players. I was with them in the Virgin Islands. You could see it in their faces. They are not having any fun playing basketball. And the Drake Bulldogs are the opposite. These guys are having a blast. And it's a flawed Drake team. They got a defensive point guard that can't make a jump shot. And he's not guarded during games, but he's got 8 assists. It's really interesting to watch.
I want to talk about Drake's next opponent, and that's Green Bay. And its coach is taking a lot of heat these days.
Well, I understand Doug Gottlieb missed a shoot-around or something because he had to do his radio show. That was part of his contract. He does a national radio show. So I don't know what you hear on that one, Mark, but it's a strange setup they've got there at Green Bay.
Well, it is. And mysteriously, he did not he had a guest host, we read, for his radio show after losing to Michigan Tech.
I would suppose Michigan Tech, if you're Green Bay as a team, you shouldn't lose to. Probably an NAI school or a Division III school. I believe Green Bay has the leading score in the country, though, playing for them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He didn't play.
No, didn't play. Hey, how about this? 3702 says Bennett Sturts reminds him of Jeff Hornacek.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. Yeah, here's the thing about Sturts. He doesn't look like an athlete, but he is. I mean, he's a really good athlete. And you guys heard the backstories on this. His mother ran track at Kansas State. Both parents graduated from Kansas State. Two older brothers have – one has an engineering degree from Kansas State. The other is a graduate. The younger brother's going to Kansas State, and his girlfriend is on the dance team at Kansas State. And he's playing for the Drake Bulldogs.
Yeah. He's from Liberty, Missouri, which is a suburb of Kansas City. So he had a home game for that one. Everything went right. He might as well have asked the girlfriend to marry him after the game, because that would have been, you know, the cherry on top of the sundae, but – they didn't do that.
Well, I felt bad because, you know, my producer wanted to know which one she was, so I'm going back to press room, and the dance team has to be working out in the back hallway of T-Mobile. So here I am. I'm feeling like a stalker. And I said, okay, which one? I forgot her name, but I've got to figure out which one she is so that we can ID her on the camera during the game.
He understands.
Chris Lehman doesn't understand, but...
Tajan Smith, I believe is her name, his girlfriend, who's a dance team at Kansas State. And it was an interesting dynamic down there at the T-Mobile Center.
Kevin, I want to ask you about Iowa's next game against Utah. Utah 8-2 this game Saturday, neutral site court. And you know how I've expressed my feelings about Iowa, but I might be having a little second thoughts, Kevin, because the three teams Iowa's lost to, the combined record is 27-5. 27-5 of those three teams. So should I be changing my opinion on Iowa, or are we going to wait till after this Utah game?
Let's wait till after Utah, because remember, they met in the NIT. Gabe Mattson is back, the three-point bomber. He had 31 against Iowa in the NIT game, and he brought his brother transferred in, his twin brother, Mason Mattson. He's averaging 11 a game, and he's knocking in threes to it, I think, 45%. Here's the problem, Mark, as we've talked about. This is a team that shoots threes, and they get on the offensive glass. That's been a problem for the Hawkeyes. But when you talk about their losses, what I'm looking at is the best win for the Hawks right now is the Washington State neutral court and Northwestern home. They've got to start racking up some wins, some quality wins, or we're going to be bubble talking here in a couple months. That's the concern I have. But I think what we saw against Iowa State, if they can play that up-tempo, great guard play with Thelwell and Brock Harding, penetration, kicking them, flaring the ball out for threes, if they get up-tempo this game, they're playing fast, spread the court, this is an Iowa team that's going to be hard to beat. And we know at the Sanford Center, or this one's at the Pentagon, it's going to be a home game for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, it will be. And Iowa's done well up there in Sioux Falls. And I think this team is going to be a bubble team. You mentioned Thelwell coming in and seems to solidify himself into the lineup. Dembele coming off the bench, which seemingly agrees with him. So I don't think you're going to see a change there anytime soon.
Well, when Dembele came off the bench and hit that opening, hit the three, hit a couple pick-and-pop threes, I'm thinking, is this a LaFester Rhodes moment coming here with Dembele? Because he was perfect from the field in that game. I think he was 4-for-4 with 10 points, but he obviously cooled off. But I think Thelwell in that lineup, he's got high energy. He got the crowd involved at Carver against at Iowa State. I think that was a great move by Fran McCaffrey to go with those two point guards, speed the game up. Play Sanford at the four. And as I said before, they're going to trade off. They're going to have low turnovers, more threes, but they're going to get hurt on the offensive glass. The other team's going to hurt them offensively on the boards. They got to find a way to counter that and get on the glass more.
Iowa State has wedged its way in between the SEC teams, the SEC, the most dominant league in the country right now. But Iowa State sitting there in the top five and has a non-conference game coming up, but then gets into league play. I wonder how you evaluate the Big 12 at this point and Iowa State's main competition aside from probably Kansas.
Well, I'd say Kansas have shown some flaws. Beat at Missouri. They're not, as Bill Self said, I have a finesse team. And a finesse team playing against Iowa State and Houston's of the world is not good. I do have Kansas against West Virginia on New Year's Eve. Darren DeVries brings the Mountaineers into Lawrence, Kansas. So I'm going to start the study on Kansas here coming up soon. But right now, Iowa State, you know, SEC is, I think it's more the SEC has flexed their muscles more than the Big 12 is dropping off. Although I'll ask you guys' opinion on this one. How much did the expansion of the Big 12 with Utah, Colorado, Arizona State helped the Big 12 basketball-wise? I mean, those teams, Arizona's underperformed. Colorado showed some flashes. Arizona State showed some flashes. I don't know if those four additions have really helped this team in the metrics of a power league in college basketball.
Yeah, John Rothstein had a really good tweet yesterday. Records against other power conferences plus Gonzaga and Memphis, who, by the way, is working their way into the NCAA tournament under Penny Hardaway with some really good non-conference wins. And the Big 12's got good teams. Don't get us wrong. But they have underperformed, I think, in the non-conference. They're 24-30 right now compared to the SEC's 58-17. I mean, they're winning 77% of those power conference matchups. That which is on a record pace, John Rothstein says. And right now it's and who knows how it's going to change. Conference play will do that, but Arizona has underperformed. That has not helped the Big 12, certainly, but it's still a good league.
Yeah, it's a good league. And I looked this morning, it had obviously the SEC as the number one ranked team in the power rankings. And the Big 12 was number two. Now, when I looked a week or two ago, the Big 10 was slotted at number two. They flipped. So now the Big 10 is sitting there at the third spot with the Big East fourth and the ACC. You talk about it, a conference that's struggling. It's the ACC. They have not had – they've had very few marquee wins here in the non-conference. And those things, I think they're going to stick with you in those power ratings once you get done with non-conference, as most people will here in the last week. And Iowa State, interesting, they got to go play at Colorado in their Big 12 opener, and they played Colorado in Maui. So that's going to be a little different twist for Iowa State. But I tell you what, guys, we saw them, at Iowa, Marquette. I think this Iowa State team, they can beat you playing slow. They can beat you playing fast. That's what great teams do. They can win playing different styles. They got great guard play, and I tell you, I think the difference is Joshua Jefferson. That guy is a defensive nightmare to game plan for if you're the opposing team.
Even though Arizona's underperformed, I mean, look at who they lost to, Duke and Oklahoma and UCLA at Wisconsin. I think Arizona may not be so bad after all. Maybe not. I don't know, Kevin.
Well, they may be wishing they had Oklahoma back. It's one of the teams that's still undefeated left. The four undefeated along with Drake is Oklahoma now would jump to the SEC. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think once you get league play, you know, they're playing Morgan State, the Cyclones are, so we won't learn much about them there. I think we've seen enough of their resume, what they've done with that you know, two-point loss to Auburn and winning the rest of them. That this is I think Iowa State is the team everyone else is chasing right now in the Big 12, especially with what they've done at Hilton Coliseum. They haven't lost there in ages. So that is become – that's maybe the new Allen Fieldhouse, the tough place to win is now –
I would agree.
Coliseum and Ames.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us. A few more minutes. Our Off the Glass segment here on a Thursday here on 1600 ESPN. UNI is playing good basketball right now. They are on the top half of the MVC. They got a big one coming up, though, that they need to get.
Well, it's a neutral court game against Washington State, you know, the team that Iowa played. And this is, you know, Northern Iowa took some lumps when they went down to Orlando and played in that tournament, North Texas and Bonaventure. But since then, they've been putting points up. They're shooting 53% from the field. That's either first or second in the nation. This is different from those Ben Jacobson teams we saw years ago that were grinded out defensive teams. This team is really, really long, athletic on the wings. They got great speed, and they're big at the defensive end, especially since Trey Campbell is now the point guard at 6'4". They shrink the floor because they have so much length. I'm really anxious to see this neutral court game against Washington State because we saw Washington State against the Hawks. That's a long team, shoot threes, and they rebound it. This will be a really good test to see how much this Northern Iowa team has progressed. And can they challenge Drake and Bradley in the Valley to win this league?
Is Kevin, is Belmont the first maybe major obstacle for Drake?
Oh, that game, yeah, they're going in. Is that their opener? Because I've got Belmont two nights later at Northern Iowa. I think Belmont is doing – they have Murray State and Belmont come into Iowa and play both Drake and UNI 2 days apart. Yes, Mark, Belmont, much like Drake, lost all those guys to the transfer portal, and he somehow reloaded. Those are two guys can really coach, Casey Alexander and Belmont – and Ben McCollum at Drake. Let me go back to Drake, guys. Their game day shoot-around, I've been doing this for 16 years. I've done my own. I've been involved in college basketball. It is the most amazing game day shoot-around I've ever seen. It was like a doctorate course in college basketball at the defensive end, how they're going to defend Kansas State. Amazing. And they were all – it was nothing physical. It was all mental walkthrough. That guy at Drake – can really, really coach.
Yeah, and just shows you the depth of coaching around, certainly. And before we let you go here, and it's early, we know that, 85-82 with a very good question. Is the Valley a one-bid league, or could it maybe get two? It's kind of the same situation Indiana State was in last year, but Drake has won these games. Indiana State lost these non-conference games. That Vandy win is good. The Kansas State win is pretty good. We'll see how it plays out at the end, though.
Yeah, Miami struggled a little bit, too. The other team, they've won in the power conference. You know, my heart wants to say, yes, it's a two-bid league, but my heart's been broken so many years by the what's happened in the NCAA tournament in that 68-field team bracket. So I'd love to say it's a two-bid league, but I tell you what's going to happen, guys, and I was with Jeff Jackson, the commissioner, because we were trying to figure out, is this a home game or a neutral game for Kansas State? Is it a neutral game or an away game for Drake? And we were talking to the commissioner about it. But he said, hey, you got to understand, the winner of the Valley is probably going to have four losses, maybe five, because it's so good at the top. So to answer our texter's question, I think they're going to beat each other up. Because what cost Indiana State last year that bid was Illinois State went to Terre Haute and beat Indiana State in Terre Haute. And right when they reached the top 25, that's what kept them out of the tournament, that game alone.
Yeah. It did. It did. All right. Appreciate the time, Kevin. Have a Merry Christmas, you and all the Lehmans. I don't know if you've got horse contests already lined up or not.
Well,
but
I had to take my real car back to Sea Rapids Airport, and I picked out my son, Austin, my daughter-in-law, Beth. They flew in from Albuquerque, and right now I told them, you better get a ball and go practice, man, because Jenna is she's giving birth, and she's back in shape.
All right.
And my other son, Grant's coming from Omaha. So, yeah, we got a big day Saturday, guys. So you guys have a great Christmas, too. Good talking to you.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. All right. Chris, you have a good Lehman Christmas as well. And, of course, Kevin's appearance on Thursday is brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. We'll come back with a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you after this.
CPOA Jewelers holiday sale is on.
We're Joseph and Clayton Hoyt.
CPOA Jewelers has great savings all month long.
Spend $500 to $1,500 and receive diamond studs or a $100 Nelson's Meat Market gift card.
Spend $1,500 to $3,499 and receive 1 carat lab-grown studs or your choice of G-Shock watch. Spend $3,500 or more and receive 2 carat lab-grown diamond studs or 1 carat lab-grown tennis bracelet.
Save at Siepke Hoyt Jewelers,
corner of Collins Road and First Ave,
where Cedar Rapids gets engaged.
Lowe's knows how to help you save time and money, no matter the job. That's why we can deliver supplies to your job site as soon as same day, so you have more time to get the job done. Because when you need it fast, we've got you covered. Lowe's knows pros. Valid on eligible in-stock orders and select zip codes placed by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. More terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Harry Douglas here. Say goodbye to bulky, clunky shavers that clutter your bathroom. Not only do you get an incredible shave, Panasonic's Palm Razor has a sleek, elegant design that adds a touch of sophistication to your bathroom. It also conveniently charges with a USB cord. Visit shop.panasonic.com/sports to shop for the Palm Razor. Use promo code HARRY for 10% off exclusively for ESPN Radio listeners. That's shop.panasonic.com/sports, promo code HARRY.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. And it is time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. Second half getting underway last night, and we've got work to do.
Yes, indeed. And off to a bit of a tough start, losing 17.5 to 12.5 in the second half lid lifter. But a couple games only decided by 20 pins or less. So the guys didn't bowl so bad, but just one of those nights.
Yeah. Hats off to them. Who did well last night?
Wayne Selkin claimed high game and high series with 290 and a 741 series. He was Andy Kramer's nemesis. Andy had 289 and 740.
Oh, that hurts. I think Andy should go into the paper as well as our secretary.
I'm good with that.
Oh, I don't know if Wayne's going to approve that, though. We'll see.
Heck, the heck with the paper. He made it on our program.
That's right. That's right. All right. If you want to inquire about open bowling, stop on by at the pro shop. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, make your holiday plans to stop out at May City. You can give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
We'll have picks tomorrow with the Eagles Hideaway Pick 6. We'll take another look at the college football playoff and more. Mark, have a good night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports is next.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a